WKOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock news time.
CBS News. Tension continues to build in Portugal, the worst crisis since military rule began 15 months ago. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Non-communists are angry at what they consider an attempt by the Communist Party to move into a political power vacuum in Portugal. The communists are planning to keep up the pressure. That could mean trouble. Susanna Ross has a report from Lisbon.
In Portugal, the Communist Party, which appears to be losing ground all over the country, is planning a show of strength in the capital of Lisbon. Despite a military order that only the armed forces should man barricades to check people coming into the city, Communist leader Álvaro Cunhal says they are going ahead with plans to stop the socialist march on Lisbon. The march, he says, is a pretext for a counter-revolutionary coup, and he has called all communists to combat stations. The socialists, exhilarated by the failure of the communists to stop their rally in the northern city of Porto, see the Lisbon rally as the climax of their week-long campaign to impress on the military rulers that the socialists have the majority of the people behind them, and that the armed forces cannot govern without their support. Susanna Ross for CBS News in Lisbon.
More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
Saturday is another busy day for the American and Russian spacemen flying the Apollo-Soyuz mission. About 6 hours from now, the two spaceships will undock and then redock about a half hour later. Later in the day, the two spaceships separate for good, ending the first joint mission between the two nations. The Russians return to Earth Monday. The Americans will splash down Thursday. It's been disclosed that on Thursday evening, former President Nixon tried unsuccessfully to save the lives of three U.S. Marines involved in a head-on auto collision near Mr. Nixon's California home. Mr. Nixon saw the wreck in front of his limousine while he was returning home from a golf course. At Camp Pendleton, California, a Marine spokesman had these details.
When the military police investigator arrived at the scene approximately 5 minutes after the accident, former President Nixon's party was on the scene, and the corpsman with the party was administering first aid measures to the injured personnel. The former president requested that a helicopter be brought in for a medevac, and approximately 10 to 12 minutes after the helicopter arrived and picked up the two remaining live Marines and transported them to the Naval Regional Medical Center here at Camp Pendleton.
Officials also said that Mr. Nixon took a hand in trying to help the victims from the wreckage and even helped direct traffic. Talks were still going on late Friday night in Washington in an effort to avert a nationwide postal strike Monday morning. About 600,000 workers belonging to four unions are involved in the contract talks. The main issue is job security. Unions claim management wants to take away clauses that guarantee against layoffs. The Postal Service says it's gearing up for a possible strike and will use federal troops if necessary to move the mail. It looks like there will not be a nationwide rail strike on Monday. The Railway Clerks Union has reached tentative agreement with the companies. A union official says they got a very good contract. Members will vote on it this Tuesday. Now this.
If you have occasional annoying hemorrhoid symptoms, you may be using a medication that is only petroleum jelly, a lubricant that soothes. If you want more than soothing alone, use Preparation H. Preparation H not only brings prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases, but Preparation H does more, goes beyond soothing. Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. Preparation H goes beyond soothing. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
Hearts wants to round up every brown woman in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts Once a Month Wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, and then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts Once a Month Wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts Once a Month Wormer for dogs and cats.
President Ford has authorized the emergency use of poison in an experimental one-year program to control coyotes on federal land. Pressure has been mounting from sheep farmers who say their animals are being wiped out by the predators. Environmentalists wanted the president to hold off, saying the poison will kill a lot of other wildlife, as well as coyotes. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
Oregon officials and sheep producers say President Ford should have gone even further in expanding that control of coyotes. Today, Ford, as you just heard, partially lifted a ban on using poisons to kill predators on public lands. He also authorized experimental use of a new poison, sodium cyanide, and an M44 triggering device to curb slaughter of sheep by coyotes. In addition, Ford directed expenditure of $2.5 million more to protect livestock from coyotes. About half the money will be spent in experiments with the new poison and half on conventional trapping and shooting devices. The search resumes tomorrow morning for a 35-year-old mentally retarded man missing in the forest near McKenzie Bridge, about 50 miles east of Eugene. The man, Joe Shaw, wandered away from a group outing last Sunday. He is a resident of a group care home in Eugene. Authorities say only a skeleton search party will look for Shaw tomorrow. He has been eluding would-be rescuers, slipping back into the woods each time someone spots him. Authorities speculate that exhaustion or hunger may soon drive Shaw to seek help at nearby houses. Leon D. Margosian, administrative officer for the Oregon legislature, was released from a Salem hospital today after suffering a heart attack on Monday. He is scheduled to undergo additional tests at the University of Oregon Medical School Hospital before reporting back to work. A Marion County Circuit Court judge ordered the release today of an Oregon State Hospital patient committed in February of 1974 on a kidnapping charge. 31-year-old Richard Burnap was found innocent by reason of mental defect by Judge Gina Schlegel. He was accused of taking 7-year-old Holly Truck of Salem from her school in November of 1973. The girl was released unharmed a day later in an Ontario grocery store. Burnap was arrested 3 days later south of Medford. The weather forecast for Portland, Vancouver, night and morning clouds with partial afternoon clearing through Saturday and Sunday. Slight chance of showers Saturday night, lows in the upper 50s, highs near 80 degrees. Chance of measurable rainfall, 10% tonight and Saturday, 20% Saturday night. In the event you did not hear it earlier, Seattle over the Portland Mavericks tonight, 4-3. And I finally got a final on the San Francisco-St. Louis Cards game. The Giants 2, St. Louis 1. That game went 10 innings. The temperature right now in downtown Portland, 63 degrees. That's KOIN News to 8.5 after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Can the leopard change his spots? Asked the prophet Jeremiah. And his own reaction, of course, was no. But, you see, we live more than 2,000 years later. And today, we may not only change the spots of the leopard, but his flesh and his blood and his bones and brains as well. We can do this because we have been given a fantastic gift called science. But whether this is a gift of the Lord or of the devil has not yet been definitely determined.
How do you like your new wallet, my dear?
Oh, darling, it's beautiful.
Let me get my papers and place them inside.
And I've already done that for you, Eloise.
No, Tom, I mean my driver's license, my social security
card.
They
are already in your new wallet.
Tom, these aren't mine. That's not my license.
But it is, dear.
Well, look for yourself. The name on this is Mary Ann Williams.
Of course. It's your new name, Mary Ann Williams. And my new name is Walter Williams.
What do we need new names for?
Because we died.
Who died?
You and I. We were killed in a car crash.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Tom and Eloise Rutledge are dead. They have been changed into Walter and Mary Ann Williams.
Our mystery drama, The Spots of the Leopard, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Ann Shepherd. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and post-nasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus drainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
It's athletes versus MS. Meet baseball's Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
Baseball's a game where you learn fast about teamwork. That's why I believe in athletes versus MS. Athletes from every sport, including John Havlicek, Muhammad Ali, Billie Jean King, have teamed up asking everyone to join in the fight against MS. Multiple sclerosis, the great crippler of young adults. There's no cure yet, but there's hope through research. Support your local chapter of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society.
Telling us to be careful with fire for over 30 years. Yet last year, we still started over 100,000 careless forest fires. When will we ever learn? A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
Young Leonard Foster won the leading role in the Shakespearean play to be given by the local community theater. He was, of course, overjoyed. How could he know that this triumph would be the indirect cause of his death? Well, it's the way these things sometimes work out. You see, ordinarily, Leonard would spend his lunch hour out walking with a girl, or in a corner of the parking lot playing softball with the rest of the fellas from the mailroom. However, lately, he's been spending the hour between 12 and 1 sitting in the office and memorizing Cardinal Wolsey's famous speech to Cromwell, which is what he's doing right now, less than 3 minutes before he's to be murdered.
Cromwell, I charge thee, fling away ambition. By that sin fell the angels. Love thyself last. Cherish those hearts that hate thee. Corruption wins not more than honesty. Still, in the right hand carry gentle peace to silence envious tongues. Oh, hello.
Hello. Who is this?
Oh, this is Leonard Foster.
This is Mrs. Rutledge. Is Mr. Rutledge about?
No, no, ma'am. Mr. Rutledge and the plant manager have gone off to lunch.
Oh, have they? Now, Leonard, look, this is vital. Did they drive... drive off in Mr. Rutledge's station wagon?
Hmm? Did they? No. No, ma'am, they went by company limo.
Oh, then I'm saved. Mr. Rutledge's station wagon is still in the parking lot.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I can see it just outside the window.
Aha. Uh-huh. Do you drive?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Rutledge.
Well, I'm at, just where exactly am I, Monsieur de Polissade? Off exit 11, Leonard.
Yes.
I just bought this absolutely divinely authentic Louis XIV commode, and I must get it home at once. Now, you're no more than 5 minutes away from exit 11 on the turnpike. And you'll see the sign, De Polissade Antique. Well, we can have the thing home in 10 minutes, and you can be back at the office 10 minutes after that. Total elapsed time, 1/2 hour. What do you say?
Well, ma'am,
The keys. Mr. Rutledge keeps a spare set in the upper right-hand drawer of his desk. Leonard, please, hurry. I shan't draw a relaxed breath until we bring it home safe.
Mrs. Rutledge, I... Well, she's the boss's wife. Upper right-hand drawer. Should be... Oh, yeah. Where was I? To silence envious tongues, be just and fear not. Then, if thou fallest, thou fallest a blessed martyr. Oh, Cromwell, Cromwell, had I but served my God with half the zeal I served my king, he would not in mine age have left me naked to mine enemies.
That bomb was meant for me, Mr. Atkins.
There can't be any doubt about it.
Well, why? Why did you allow such a thing to happen?
Look, we can't be everywhere all the time, Mr. Rutledge.
You came to me. You said you, Tom Rutledge, you have a duty as a citizen. The underworld has been trying to move in on your industry. You have certain facts.
I understand all that, Mr. Rutledge.
Now, wait. Your testimony, Tom Rutledge, can place all these hoodlums behind bars forever. I said to you, I have been informed by certain letters, phone calls, even a visit to my office, that it would be suicide for me to testify.
We know all this, Mr. Rutledge.
And when I told you about all those threats, how can I describe your reaction? It was as if this whole thing were an opera, and you burst forth into a glorious aria about how the full force of the assembled resources of the U.S. government would always be on hand to shield and protect me. Well, where were you when a bomb went off in my car this new?
We're doing the very best we can.
Your best isn't good enough. I believed you. I came forward. I testified. Now...
This young fellow, this Leonard Foster, why was he about to drive your car?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Would he have any reason for being in your car?
None that I know of.
Where would he get the key to the ignition?
I couldn't tell you.
Mr. Atkins, this has been a very... I wonder if you'd excuse me. After all, there's really nothing I could tell you.
In just a moment, Mrs. Rutledge, I have a question I'd like to ask you.
To ask me?
Yes. Just let me finish with your husband. Mr. Rutledge.
Yes, sir.
Did you keep a key to the car in your office?
Yes, in my desk drawer.
Did Leonard Foster know about it?
Well, I don't see how.
But obviously, he must have gone to your desk drawer and taken the key. Why?
Well, I don't know. Couldn't even guess.
Mrs. Rutledge, the switchboard operator at the plant says you phoned at about 11:45.
Oh? Oh, yes, I did.
May I ask why?
Well, to see if Tom might be free for... I know, dear. You had told me before you left that you had this date, but I was sitting around the house. I was so lonesome. I forgot. I just picked up the phone.
The girl at the board put the call through to your husband's office. You spoke to Leonard Foster because she heard him come on.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did speak to the poor boy.
And as far as we know, you were the last person to ever speak to him.
Yes, I suppose I was.
How did he sound to you?
How? I don't know. All right, I'd say.
Can you recall the conversation?
Yes. I asked if Tom were there, and he said no. Tom had already gone to lunch, and that was all.
And aside from telling you that Mr. Rutledge had gone to lunch, he said nothing else to you?
Well, what would he possibly have to say to me?
So then, for whatever reason, young Leonard Foster decides to drive off in your car, Mr. Rutledge, but the car is booby-trapped, and he becomes the accidental victim of...
Oh, please, please. All this is so upsetting, and you really don't need me for anything more, do you?
No, Mrs. Rutledge.
Dear, why don't you go upstairs and lie down for a bit?
Yes. I think I'd better, please, excuse me.
Now, this is part of it. My wife is an extremely sensitive woman, and she
Look,
doesn't...
I know she's scared, and I know you're scared, but I promise you, you're not going to be thrown to the wolves.
Mm-hmm. We were almost bitten this noontime.
As of right now, you're being guarded 24 hours a day.
But how long can you keep doing it?
Mr. Rutledge, all I'm asking is for you to have a little faith.
Yeah. Sparrow speaking. I know what you did. I also know what you didn't do. I read the newspapers. Now... We'll just have to let it rest a while. We'll get him. Maybe not now, but we will get Mr. Tom Rutledge. They cannot afford to guard him forever, and we are very patient people. I'll let you know what I want you to do, when I want you to do it. Right.
Monsieur de Polissard.
Madame Rutledge, may we come in? I thought you would want your commode.
Oh, of course.
Gentlemen, yeah. Inside.
Okay.
And where shall you have it, madame?
Oh, where do you suggest?
Beneath the painting. Set it down, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was ordained to occupy that precise place. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, boss.
Yeah. Well, I must say, it was difficult to approach your house, Madame Rutledge. The police, they stop everyone.
Oh, well, my poor husband, his life is in danger. Could you do me a favor, Monsieur de Polissard?
Madame... There is no other reason for my existence.
I would like to give you a check.
But certainly.
For half the amount we agreed on, and cash for the balance.
Whatever is convenient.
Well, I would just as soon my husband didn't know how much I pay.
Have no fear, madame. This shall be our little secret.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Monsieur de Polissard.
Our second little secret.
I beg your pardon?
Yes. It is our second little secret. Our first little secret is concerned with that most unfortunate occurrence yesterday noon.
What did you say?
What did you say, my dear Madame Rutledge? Or, more properly speaking, what did you not say concerning the regrettable episode?
What are you talking about?
You said in the newspaper account that you had called your husband's office from your home.
Oh.
We know that was not true. You had called his office from my shop. Further, it seems that both your husband and the police are completely mystified. They have absolutely no idea why that poor young man... should have wanted to drive your husband's car. Now, you could have enlightened them.
You must believe me, Monsieur de Polissard. I couldn't mention this because... Well, I was so obviously the cause of that poor boy's death. He died because of me. I simply couldn't accept that kind of guilt.
Mm.
Please, Monsieur de Polissard. You said it would be our secret.
What... is the real reason, madame. There must be more to it.
I assure you, monsieur.
You placed me in a most awkward position, madame. You see, you are withholding knowledge from the police, You are aware this is illegal.
My motives are not evil. If my husband knew that I had asked Leonard to run that errand for me, he would be furious. He said he would divorce me if I ever did it again.
Did what again?
If I ever used his employees to run errands or do work for me.
Oh.
I may have overdone it in the past. He does employ some very skilled mechanics, and I ask them to do various chores for me. He made me promise to put a stop to it, and I did. I gave him my solemn word of honor, so you see...
Yes, my dear lady, I see.
And that's why I simply couldn't afford to have him find out that I asked Leonard to do me a favor.
My dear Madame Rutledge, you must have absolutely no fear. I told you this would be our little secret.
Bread eaten in secret is sweet, says the proverb. But even the sweetest bread must one day grow stale. And secrets tend to grow heavy with age. And sometimes they require additional people to carry them, in which case they usually don't remain secrets. As you can see, we have a lot of work to do, and we'll get a good part of it done when I return shortly with Act Two.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards, or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
I think it was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed and I shakily held onto the willows. And we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life, and it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Few people will admit they tell lies, because, as you know, truth is relative. And also, truth rarely gets you anywhere. After all, a politician who tells the truth seldom gets elected. And a lover who tells the truth usually spends his night alone. Eloise Rutledge takes the view that the important thing in this life is to get along, be happy, and not create any unnecessary problems. And so, if a bad peace is preferable to a good war, then certainly a good lie is better than a bad truth.
Monsieur de Polissard, what do you want?
What do I want, Madame Rutledge?
Yes. Let's remove this mask of continental gallantry and...
What makes you think I wear a mask?
Well... I
wish, madame, only to be your friend, your ally.
Well, thank you, Monsieur de Polissard. Thank you.
These words may sound strange to you, my dear Madame Rutledge, but my dearest desire is to serve you. And if you wish to keep a certain secret, then I shall serve you by silence.
Tom.
Yes, dear?
You're home early.
Well, we'd better have a long talk, Eloise.
A long talk? About what?
About our future.
Well, that sounds serious.
Yes. It's extremely serious. I just spent several hours with Mr. Atkins.
The government man?
Yes. We found out something about that bomb. These are clever and tenacious killers. They want me dead. I must die as an object lesson to everyone else who might consider testifying against them in court. Even the government cannot protect me and you against them indefinitely.
Oh. Well, then, what did Mr. Atkins say? That eventually you'll have to be murdered?
Yes.
That's
the truth.
And we're just supposed to accept that?
No, darling, we'll have to move.
Move? We won't be any safer for it. These criminals have a nationwide organization. We'd be no better off on the other side of the country, even on the other side of the world.
We would, because we will no longer be Tom and Eloise Rutledge.
Who would we be?
Who would you like to be? Any ideas for a new name?
Tom.
What the government can do for us is what it has done for people like us before. They'll help us establish a new identity.
What will we do? What will you do?
A job is waiting for me.
What kind of job? Where?
Well, teaching mathematics at a state college in the Northwest.
I don't understand.
Darling, this is an opportunity to be born again. Start life all over. Live it differently. We'll have different names, different identities. Everything is being changed for us. Our social security numbers, credit cards, health and hospitalization data, you name it. My army discharge papers, every official document that has our name on it, our marriage license.
What names will be on that?
Pick out whatever you want. What do you think?
Oh, it sounds exciting. Wait till I tell Uncle Alvin.
No, you can't do that.
Well, Uncle Alvin is my
you
only...
You can't tell anyone.
Why?
Well, it's the way it has to be.
But we can't just simply disappear.
Why not?
We have relatives. We have friends. What are they going to think?
Well, they're not really going to think anything. They'll mourn for us a while.
And... What do you mean, mourn?
Oh, I should have told you this out front. We're going to be dead.
Dead?
Huh. In order to start this off in a most credible manner, we will have died in an accident.
Oh, Tom, I'm frightened.
I know, dear, but unless I do it, I will be killed. It's my only chance.
Sorry to be a few minutes late.
It's all right.
We had to arrange matters with the chief of the local police. Well, take a look. That's your new car. Like it?
Oh, it's beautiful.
I'll have the officers transfer your baggage from your old one to your new one. Frank, Smitty, start moving the luggage.
Mr. Atkins, what's going to become of my furniture, my antiques?
Well, they'll be part of your estate. As Tom and Eloise Rutledge, you had a will.
Well, there isn't anyone in either my family or Tom's who has the proper respect for a valuable antique. Couldn't we have taken...
No, ma'am, we can't go through all this again, please. Now, you were driving late at night, you went off the road and the gas tank exploded. You perished in the crash and were consumed by the flames.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
The police and the medical examiner will authenticate all these facts. You fellows moved all this stuff?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, here's a wallet for each of you. You are now Walter and Marianne Williams. Each wallet has your important papers, driver's license, credit card, social security number, everything you need.
Douse that car with gasoline, fellas.
Oh, Tom.
Eloise, if you have any reservations...
No,
now listen,
no, Tom.
You folks had better start calling each other Walter and Marianne.
Darling, that this won't be an easy thing for you to do. If you have any reservations, we'll... I could have been alone in that car.
No. No, Tom.
Walter.
Yes.
Remember?
Walter. My place is with you. My place is always with you.
Okay, fellas. Roll her off the road.
Sparrow, you know what time it is. What? Is that a fact? They had an accident, huh? Car burned up. Both of them dead. Somebody seen the bodies? Not enough left to identify. Well, what do you know about that? I don't believe a word of it. It's a plant. He's on ice somewhere. We'll find him. Yeah. People disappear. But nobody can disappear without leaving some kind of trace.
Oh, I didn't know you were home.
Well... Where would I be, Tom?
Honey, my name is Walter.
In the privacy of our own home, I can call you Tom.
But I'm not Tom anymore, and unless you call me Walter all the time, you'll forget and call me Tom when we're out.
When do we ever go out?
Well, we could go out every night in the week. We could have a full social life.
Some social life.
Darling, there are some very fine people up here.
Do you know the sole topic of conversation here? You have exactly two. It depends on the season.
Now, you're being unfair.
In the summer, it's horses. In the winter, it's skiing. And there isn't an antique shop within 200 miles.
Well, now, that's not true. There are plenty of shops.
Oh, sure. If you're interested in old branding irons, I'm talking about antiques.
Well, it's not the East, I admit that.
Look at my home. There isn't a decent piece of furniture.
I should have known better. I should have realized that... This would be no life for you.
Oh, Tom. Walter. I'm sorry. The important thing is we're together. Together. That's all that I care about.
Yes. That's the important thing. And it's just about the only thing we'll ever have, being together. I miss other things, too. The theater, the excitement of the big cities, the museums, galleries, restaurants.
Oh, please. Don't even mention...
Both of us, we were brought up to live that way. I'm sorry, dear.
Don't be sorry. I'll manage somehow.
I wish I could buy you an antique.
A chair? And a table?
Nearest place where we could even hope to see anything that you would consider an antique...
Would be San Francisco.
I don't think it would be prudent for us to be seen in San Francisco.
No. No, I guess not.
I'm sorry, dear.
I'll just have to live with it somehow. Oh, what am I thinking about? I can't. I shouldn't. I mustn't. Oh, it's crazy. Why is it crazy? Because something could happen. What? What could happen? I know what I'll do. When he answers, I'll hang up.
Put it this way. When I return with Act 3,
Will there be anyone on the line? Will she do the smart, sane, sensible thing and hang up? Or will she... Well, she's a woman. And today's women's lib attitudes to the contrary notwithstanding, history is replete with women who go against specific instructions. Bluebeard's wife, Pandora, Eve. Do we add Eloise?
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no one for one. There's only something left.
You've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
This is a routine gun trace request.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the gun trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report
it. I'm Rex Davis, director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Gun tracing is often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
Let us say your name is Jean-Pierre de Polissard, and you are a respected dealer in antiques. About a year ago, one of your very good customers and her husband were killed in the flaming wreckage of an automobile accident. Now, today, you're sitting in your shop, and the phone rings. And you answer it.
Hello? Hello, hello. Is anyone on the line?
Hello?
Who is this, please?
Monsieur de Polissard.
Wait, I know that voice. No. How can it be?
Monsieur, you have kept two secrets for me. Can you keep a third?
Madame Rutledge.
Don't say that name. Never say that name.
You are alive.
You must keep my secret.
Certainly.
Monsieur, how I miss your shop.
And how I miss you, madame.
Do you remember the commode?
Could I forget?
If only I could have something like it.
I have my eyes on just the piece. It will be available in several weeks.
Oh, could you buy it for me?
It is done.
Remember, you must say nothing about my being alive.
Your secrets are safe with me. Where shall I send this?
My husband has just come in. I have to hang up. I'll call you again when I get the chance.
Madame...
Yes?
I'm looking for Tom Rutledge. We were in Korea together, and he said, if you ever find yourself in or around New York, come see me. So I've come to see him.
You were a friend of Tom.
Oh, I was better than a friend, a buddy.
Won't you come in, Mr.
Sparrow. Thank you. Mm. Hey, look, I hope nothing's wrong.
Well, I'm sorry I must tell you this, but Tom's dead.
What?
Yeah. Dead in an automobile crash.
Oh.
Yeah. Tom and Eloise, his wife. I'm Eloise's Uncle Alvin. I inherited their estate.
Tom dead? I can't believe it.
I can't either. Old man like me, outliving Tom and Eloise.
I'm sorry I intruded, sir.
Yeah.
Say, you know, this is quite a layout here.
Practically every piece of furniture is an antique.
It seems to have a lot of class.
Yeah. Suppose the antique dealers around here were hit pretty hard when poor Eloise was killed.
Yeah.
You can see what a valuable customer she must have been.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, thank you for your hospitality, sir.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to come all this way out here for nothing.
Hmm? Well, maybe it wasn't for nothing after all.
Marianne! Ah, damn it. It's Eloise! Come in here, Eloise!
What's the matter, darling?
You tell me.
Why are you so angry?
Look at this.
What are you talking about?
This telephone bill.
Well, what about it?
You made a long-distance call to New York, to Westchester County. There's the area code, 914.
Oh.
Is that all you can say? Oh?
But, Tom, with this... The person is absolutely trustworthy.
That is not the point. You're not supposed to be in touch with anyone at all for any reason. That was the agreement. Whom did you call?
I called my antique dealer.
Oh, good Lord.
I can trust him.
What does he know? Tell me.
Well, I guess he knows I'm still alive.
Oh.
But he won't tell anyone. He promised.
Does he know where you are?
No, I didn't tell him.
Does he know your new name?
No.
Eloise! No, it doesn't matter. It's the way you are. You can't change.
Oh, Tom, please.
You simply cannot keep your word. I can't become angry about it. It's a sickness with you. Darling, go back home.
But this is my home.
Go back east where you'll be happy. They don't want you. They want me. I'll take off, go somewhere. They'll never find me.
Tom, please. I don't know what gets into me.
But whatever it is, darling, we can't live with it.
But I can't live without you, Tom. So whatever it is, I'll fight it. I won't give in to it, to myself anymore. I won't, Tom, please. This time... Believe me.
All right, darling, all right. I'll try to believe you. But, darling, you'll have to call me Walter.
Hello?
Monsieur Polissard.
Madame.
I don't have too long to talk with you. Did you find me?
Madame. I found you a gem exactly like the other, and the same price.
Could you send it out here?
Of course.
Well, I don't want my husband to know I got it from you.
Easily remedied. I shall ship it to a friend in San Francisco. He will send it on to you. You can claim you saw it advertised out there.
Well, I think I can get away with that.
What is your address?
No, this is an absolute secret.
I shall guard it with my life.
All right. You send it to Mrs. Marianne Williams, care of Western State A&M, Barrett, Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
And please keep it secret.
My dear madam, it is our fourth secret.
Mr. Atkins, I'm Eloise Rutledge's uncle. You remember Tom and Eloise Rutledge?
Yes, I do.
Are they really dead?
What do you mean?
Why couldn't you answer that question yes or no, Mr. Atkins?
Because I'm not sure I understand that question.
Well, let me draw a picture. A week ago or so, a man rings my bell. Says he's an old army friend of Tom's. You follow this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you should. It's simple so far. And he asks about Tom. Didn't know Tom was dead. That doesn't raise any suspicions. Now, here's where it gets complicated. I see this fella's picture in this morning's paper. Here it is. Same person. And his name's Paul Sparrow. And he's supposed to be a notorious gangster.
And he was asking about your nephew?
I notice you didn't say my late nephew.
No, I haven't said anything at all. But I do want to thank you for this very vital information. Good day to you, sir. Welcome to the establishment of Jean-Pierre Polissard.
Well, 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 if it ain't Benny the Frenchman.
Hello, Sparrow.
And look at you. New racket?
I have gone straight.
Is this stuff on the level? Or do you hammer it out in the back room?
I told you, Sparrow, I have gone straight. All the way.
Hey, well, I'm looking for a dame.
Haven't we all?
She'd been a good customer of yours before she died. If she died.
That is quite a description.
Her name was Eloise Rutledge, or Mrs. Tom Rutledge.
I read in the papers a year ago. She got killed in a car crash. What is on your mind, Sparrow?
Oh, same thing that was always on your mind, Benji. Squealers. I remember how you always hated squealers. And that's her husband.
He was killed, too.
Yeah, that's what they said in the papers. I warned him.
But he's already dead.
No. The feds got him stashed. So I figure maybe she's been in touch.
Why?
To buy some antiques.
That would be okay, but I have not heard from her.
You haven't, huh? Tell me, why'd you just cover that piece of paper with your hand?
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
You didn't even know you were doing it.
I just had to write something down.
Yeah, well, let me see.
Just a customer's name. Look for yourself.
Marianne Williams. How come you got a customer all the way out in Wyoming?
She likes antiques.
You know what I'd like to bet? That this Marianne Williams is Eloise Rutledge.
You would lose.
Well, it's worth a trip.
You want to waste your time? Go ahead.
Look, I trust you, Benny. Is she or ain't she the dame I'm looking for?
She is not.
Okay, pal. That's the last word. Hold it, Benny.
What?
Put that phone down.
When did you come back?
You're getting careless. I come back to see if you was going to phone her to tip her off.
This is a business call.
Hand over the phone, Benji. If it's legit business call, hand it over. Now, come on, that's good.
Hello?
Oh, ma'am, I think maybe I got a wrong number. Can you tell me where I reached?
Yes, this is Barrett, Wyoming.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the truth, Benji. I'm really sorry.
Darling, sit down.
What is it?
You told me you saw the ad for this antique commode in a San Francisco paper.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Would you have kept the ad by any chance?
No. No, I don't think so.
Let me tell you why I don't think there was an ad.
What are you saying?
Now, wait, I haven't said it yet. In the bottom drawer, I saw an old and faded sticker. Do you know what it said? De Polissard's Antiques, Larchmont, New York.
Well, maybe he did own the antique originally, and then he sold it to this dealer.
About a month ago, you called him.
I did?
Mm-hmm, and at that time, you swore to me that you didn't give him our new address.
Well, I didn't.
Did you call him since? Did you call him since to tell him where we were living?
Oh, darling.
Did you?
Well, you're making it sound like an
equivalent. Did you call him?
Yes.
Oh. You know what we have to do now, don't you?
No.
We have to get out of here as quickly as we can.
Why? But suppose Pulisar does know. You can trust him.
That's right. There was a guy that was aces.
Who are you?
Don't move.
Oh, Tommy's got a gun.
Well, nobody can say your wife don't know this thing.
What are you going to do?
What do you think he's going to do?
Oh, no. Please.
Now, don't feel bad about Monsieur Polisard, as you called him. Wasn't his fault. Besides, he's dead.
Look, if you shoot us, people are all around on campus, and they'll hear the shots.
Not with this. It's a silencer. It'll just be a couple of little pop-pops, that's all.
You're covered, Sparrow. My suggestion is for you to drop the pistol and walk out the front door.
Well, that sounds about right.
Drop it.
Oh, Mr. Atkins. Oh, Tom. I'm so sorry.
You folks will just have to do it again. You can't stay here.
Eloise, I don't know if I can go through it again. Let them get me and get it over with.
Oh, no, darling. No, trust me. Trust me. I really learned my lesson.
Eloise, can I really believe you?
Yes, darling. Yes, this time, you really can believe me.
Never know if he can or not. When our stories are over, they're over. What happens after our third act curtain descends has to be another story. And I shall have another story for you when I return in just a few moments.
If you're a high blood pressure person, and your doctor says there's no doubt about it,
and he's prescribed a medication, but you kind of hesitate because you feel pretty good without it.
Get well, get with it. Stay well, stay with it.
Though it might have to be for the rest of your life,
chances are that it will be a healthier life.
Get well, get with it.
National High Blood Pressure Month is a good time to find out if you are a high blood pressure person. Get well, get with it. Because there are some 23 million people with high blood pressure in the United States today. If you do have high blood pressure and medication has been prescribed for you, then remember this advice.
Get well, get with it. Stay well, stay with it.
A message from your Heart Association.
The delicate balance between a lie and the truth. What is it? It's an entire dimension that is neither true nor false, but something somewhere in between. It's a place of shadow and mystery. And let us say it's that never-never land where the leopard, and indeed all of us, try to change our spots or whatever. Our cast included Ann Shepherd, Russell Horton, Gil Mack, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I kept getting smaller and smaller. The me part of me. Do you think I'm losing my mind, Frank?
Oh, no. Don't ever think like that. I know what it is.
Then I wish you'd tell me. Just so I won't keep thinking maybe I'm going mad.
It's my stepmother.
Your stepmother?
It isn't the house. I was wrong about that. She uses the house, that's all.
I don't understand.
She's in there, Laura, in her house. Her house. They left a lot of my stepmother unburied. You're it.
The thing that wants you as its living agent is what they left behind.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
From KOIN in Portland, my name's Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. Have a nice weekend. See you again on Monday. Bye-bye. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. Troops have been posted in Lisbon as Portugal faces a day of heightened tension between communists and socialists. Good morning, I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The elite Capcom security force is on duty in Lisbon, searching cars and other vehicles for arms as they enter the capital city. Today's crisis came about when communist leader Alvaro Canal defied a government order by announcing his militants would man barricades throughout the country to stop a socialist march on Lisbon he says is aimed at setting the stage for a counter-coup. Socialists, who held a mass rally last night in the northern wine city of Oporto, are due for a final demonstration of their strength tonight in Lisbon. Socialist leader Mario Soares says no trouble is being stirred up. The socialists, who withdrew from the former coalition cabinet, thereby beginning its end, are demonstrating against the plan of the leftist military leaders for a soldier-worker state. The socialists call now for establishment of a Western-style democracy. CBS News continues following this message.
Just lie down, Miss Simpson. What seems to be your problem, please?
I don't have to lie down, Doctor. Mm-hmm. It's not me. I'm like a rock.
Oh, steady, Miss Simpson, please.
It's my brother, Elrod.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, Doctor, he's obsessed with people.
Obsessed with people?
Yes, People Magazine. Doctor, I don't know him anymore. People Magazine has changed him. Now he's alive and interesting. He's even invited to parties. He's not afraid of people anymore.
Well, how did People Magazine do all that?
Well, people is all Elrod talks about. Mm-hmm. He's become a conversationalist. Now he talks about people in sports, theater, medicine, the movies. Doctor, he waits every week at the supermarket till the new issue comes out.
Steady, please, Miss Simpson.
He's even grown a mustache.
Well, tell me more, please.
I think he has a girlfriend.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere, Miss Simpson. How do you feel about that?
Left out, Doctor.
Well, my suggestion, Miss Simpson, follow your brother Elrod and read People Magazine.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say that, Doctor.
Why is that, Miss Simpson?
It's given me the courage to go with my feelings. You know, Doctor, you're awfully attractive.
Please, Miss Simpson.
I know you're single. And...
Miss Simpson.
Oh, just call me Abigail.
Abby, stop. Pick up your week. Pick up a people today.
The Soyuz crew awoke within the hour. Apollo's crew will be getting up shortly. Apollo and Soyuz still are joined in space, but will go their separate ways today. They'll undock, redock to provide another test of the new mechanism by which they link up, then separate for good. Soyuz will parachute back to Earth in the Soviet Union Monday. Apollo will splash down in the Pacific Thursday. Cosmonaut Alexei Leonov and astronaut Thomas Stafford, commanders of the Soviet and American craft respectively, say they'd like to fly a mission together. The two space veterans have become fast friends in the 2 years of preparation for this flight. Leonov is fond of other airborne thrills, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Steve Young in Moscow.
Commander Leonov, among other things, likes to do sports parachute jumping. I asked his wife, Svetlana, whether that or space flights worries her more.
I think both the American and Soviet wives have come to the same conclusion, that it's easier to fly yourself than to wait on the ground in any situation.
Flight engineer Valery Kubasov's wife, Ludmila, said she'd like to see more women fly in space, but hastened to add she would not like her daughter to be a cosmonaut.
First of all, it's a very difficult life. It's a very dangerous life. And third, I see this profession very close up, and I would not wish it for my daughter.
Mrs. Leonov said her oldest daughter is in the International Pioneers Camp on the Black Sea. She said her daughter sent a telegram from herself and the children of the camp, wishing success to her father, flight engineer Kubasov, and the American astronauts. Steve Young, CBS News, Moscow.
A strike by 1,550 pilots of Northwest Airlines is scheduled to begin at this hour. Negotiations between the company and the Airline Pilots Association broke off yesterday morning. No further talks were scheduled. The U.S. Postal Service has completed a contingency plan, including use of troops to keep mails moving in case of a threatened Sunday midnight strike. But progress has been made. A probable extension of the strike deadline is anticipated. The threat of a nationwide rail strike was lifted as the Brotherhood of Railway and Airline Clerks secured extra cost of living adjustments from the railroads. There was this comment from railroad negotiator William Dempsey.
I have no doubt that the union will, General Chairman, will ratify next Tuesday and put a final informal document, then it'll be executed sometime next week. In short, what I'm saying is that the danger of the rail strike a week from Monday is passed.
Now this message.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
Ignoring the pleas of environmentalists, President Ford has authorized the emergency use of poison on a one-year experimental basis to control coyotes and other predators on federal land. Sheep farmers have been pressuring for the move to combat attacking animals destroying their herds. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
A federal judge has fined five timber companies and put two men on probation for rigging timber sales in the Willamette National Forest. He found the men guilty of antitrust violations involving the purchase of timber in the Detroit Ranger District of the Central Cascades. The fines total $115,000. Authorities say wreckage of a small private plane has been found in a plowed field near Goldendale in southeast Washington. But they say they found no people at the crash site and are concluding there are no serious injuries. A Portland newspaper reports that Rose City Zoo director Philip Ogilvy has accepted in principle a job as director of the Toronto Metro Zoo in Canada. Ogilvy is returning to Portland from the Canadian city and is not available for comment. Ogilvy had indicated he is looking for a job with another zoo that had a larger budget than Portland's. The Toronto Zoo, one of the largest in the world, covers more than 700 acres and opened last August. Negotiators for Publishers Paper Company and the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers say they have come to agreement on a contract for the company's Newburgh plant. The terms of the contract will not be released until after ratification votes, which will take place on Monday. The National Commander of the American Legion says the nation has depleted its stockpiles of weapons. He says that if any major military problems arise in the next 2 years, the United States will have difficulty meeting them. The Columbia River will be bridged again with what the Washington Highways Department describes as a spectacular span. The government has awarded a $24 million contract to the Vancouver, Washington Company for the new Pasco-Kennewick Bridge. Construction on the 2,500-foot-long four-lane structure is to begin this summer with completion scheduled for 1977. The head of the Navy Recruiting Command visited Portland yesterday and talked about needing more citizen support for all-volunteer military services. Rear Admiral Robert McClinton says much is being said about the all-volunteer Army, but he says more emphasis should be placed on the fact that all military services are volunteer. In a speech to Navy and community leaders, McClinton said the quality of men and women being recruited has improved in the last 2 years. He says 75% of the 113,000 people who joined the Navy in fiscal 1975 were high school graduates.